Hey everybody, this is Bob Z, the pastor of Joy Christian Fellowship. I want to thank you for tuning into our podcast. I hope it's a word that will encourage you today. Let's remember in these challenging times we're living that God is still in control and that his love for us endures forever. Amen. God bless. He is worthy of it all. Amen. He's the only one worthy. For from him are all things, and to him are all things. He deserves the glory, all of it. He deserves all the glory. So we exalt the name of Jesus here. Thank you for the gift of worship, Lord. Come and join us now. Amen. Before we pray, I got to tell you about a bona fide miracle that happened to me Thursday. And I got to tell you, luck had nothing to do with it. Karma had nothing to do with it. This was a bona fide miracle. Every Thursday morning, Bobby and I go to the Walmart food pickup. She gets Tanya and Chris's groceries, takes them into town. I grab ours and come back home up on the bypass, that Walmart. Well, Thursday morning, we're getting ready to hop in the car, and I got my phone, and I got my keys, and I'm looking for my wallet, got my driver's license, something. Maybe I left it in the car, and I'm searching all over between the seats, in the glove compartment, and the thing in the middle of the console, can't find it, run back into the house. Bobby said, what's going on? I can't find my wallet. Go back into the house. Look on my table, which is always a mess. Look on the counter. I'm looking all over. I'm thinking, okay, Lord, you know exactly where it is. Where did I put it where I can't find it? Go into the computer room, go into the bathroom, checking. Okay, just going to go get the groceries. I'll just make sure I'm doing the speed limit and don't run any stop signs. We'll be okay. Get the groceries, come back home. So, okay, I got to find it because I had to go back into town and do some errands. And it's nowhere to be found. And now, once you run out of places to look, you start getting, I don't like that feeling, Lord. I've checked everywhere. I don't know where else. Bobby texts me, did you find your wallet? I said, no. I said, well, I got people praying, so hopefully you find it soon. I said, it's here somewhere. It's got to be here somewhere. Hours go by. Can't find it. Start doing some other things. I said, man, where is my wallet? I get a phone call. I don't recognize the number. Wasn't going to answer. I'm glad I did. Guy said, is this Brother Bob? I said, this is Bob. Hey, my name's Will. I said, yeah. I found your wallet. Man. Okay, is this a gag? Is this somebody? I said, where are you? I'm at Jenkins Deli. I said, I hadn't been to Jenkins Deli in weeks. I didn't find it in Jenkins Deli. So where'd you find it? He said, I found it laying on the side of the road on the bypass. I thought, what? He goes, yeah, I live out in that area, and I pedal a bike. I work at Jenkins Deli. That's why I'm at Jenkins Deli. And I ride a bike, and I usually go a different way. And that morning, I thought, well, I'm just going to go this way, and I'm pedaling on the side of a bypass, and I look over, and I see a wallet. And on the other side of the highway, there was a woman walking, looking like she was looking for something. So he thinks, maybe it's her wallet. So he starts yelling to her. Well, there's traffic going back and forth, so he can't get her attention. He says, well, I'll open it up. He sees my license. Oh, it's an old guy. It's not her, so it's not her wallet. He said, well, how do I get in touch with this guy? Well, one of my chaplain's cards was in there, and it had my phone number. So he dialed the phone. I said, how in the world? And I'm trying to think, how would it have gotten there of all places? And the only thing I can think of, other than somebody finding it somewhere and tossing it in the weeds, was when I was putting all of my stuff in the car the day before. Because I didn't have it Thursday morning. On Wednesday, maybe I set it up on the roof rack and hopped in the car and took off and that thing. But where he found it, it was at least 3 miles from our house. So I don't know, but God knew who had it. And I was just praying, Lord, let it be an honest person. Let it be somebody that's, you know, just going to run out and, you know, use my credit cards, drivers, everything was intact. So I sat with this guy and talked. I said, man, let me give you some money. No, I don't want your money. Let me get you a gift card to Lassiter's. I said, do you come in here much? He goes, yeah, I work next door at Jenkins. So I got him a gift card. I said, what else can I do for you, man? Because I was getting ready to call a credit card company and say, oh, you got to cancel this. And what am I going to do about my license, identity, all that stuff? So I said, that's a bona fide miracle, wouldn't you? on the side of the road at the on the bypass of all places. Ugh, old people, right? Anyway, let's pray. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for Will finding my wallet and being an honest guy and getting it back to me. Thank you for little things and big things. And if you're in them, none of them are small when you're in it. So I just thank you that you protected that wallet and other things you do for us that we kind of just take for granted sometimes. Let us remember that you are worthy of all our praise and adoration, and you are worthy of the glory because only you deserve the glory. So we exalt you here this morning. Come and join us now. Open our ears up to hear the word you have for us this morning, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. I got to ask you a question. Have you ever had one of those times in your life when you were so excited, you were so encouraged because you were really confident, you were so sure of something big happening or something significant finally coming to fruition in your life, something that's just going to be life-changing, and you could taste it. It was so close you could taste it. You could touch it with your hand. But then almost instantly, like overnight, instantly, the whole thing collapses. Just collapses completely. Just breaks down. It's gone. It disappears. And you're shocked. And you're numb. You're confused. You're left with a lot of questions, but not a whole lot of answers. And you're wondering, what happened? What just happened? And why? Why did that happen? And what now? What am I going to do now? Sometimes when things just fall apart in our lives and we never saw it coming, we try to make sense of it, right? We try to reason things out. We try to come up with some logical explanation for it. I was trying to come up with some logical explanation of how my wallet ended up on the bypass, and I still haven't come up with it. But sometimes there's just no answers. At least not this side of heaven. However, sometimes the answers may be right in front of our face. But we're like a child with one of those connect the dots pictures, right? We're looking at it, but we don't get it. We're having a hard time connecting the dots and seeing the big picture, even though it may be right in front of us. Is this speaking to anyone yet? Other than me. Today we're going to revisit Resurrection Sunday. Of course, as resurrection people, every Sunday we celebrate the resurrection. But last Sunday, we joined millions and millions of believers celebrating the empty tomb on that first resurrection morning. And later on that same day, sometime in the afternoon, there were two disciples of Jesus who were leaving Jerusalem, heading back to their small town of Emmaus. Kimberly is going to take that walk to Emmaus beginning Thursday night, so keep her in your prayers. Excited for you, Kim. But these two disciples heading back to Emmaus, they were having trouble connecting the dots of what really happened in Jerusalem over those last 3 days. So the title of this morning's message is Set Our Hearts Ablaze. And we're going to be in Luke chapter 24. So, Father, now, just quiet us down. Let us focus on you. Let us not be checking text messages or any of that stuff. Let us not be distracted by the temporary things. We want to focus on you because I believe you got something to tell us. We may already know the story. We've heard it 100 times, maybe more. But, Lord, revive us with it. Give us a fresh insight. Just remind us of it and show us how we can use this out there where life happens. Amen. Amen. Now, these two disciples heading home to Emmaus, they weren't part of the original 12 Jesus picked for his dream team. But they obviously were part of the group that followed along with Jesus. And maybe they even ate some meals together. Maybe they celebrated the Jewish holidays and the feasts together. And they saw or they heard all about the miracles, the healings, the feeding of thousands. That they heard or saw the blind getting their eyesight back, the lame walking, the deaf hearing again, the dead being raised, demons being cast out. They were around Jesus. They knew or heard all these things. And they probably heard Jesus teach. And with all the things Jesus taught them, they couldn't really understand the full meaning behind his death on the cross. They couldn't quite grasp that completely. They couldn't connect the dots. So they felt that all their hopes, all their dreams, all their hopes for the future died on that bloody cross with Jesus. And now they're heading home. And they're wondering, what are we going to do now? What are we going to do now? So I want to pick up this story in Luke's Gospel. This is Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, beginning in verse 13. It says, now that same day, meaning the same day of Jesus' resurrection, on that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. I found that interesting. I don't know if Jesus had his cloak over, covered his face. They were kept from recognizing him, or maybe God just blinded their eyes to recognizing who he was. These two disciples, they were feeling what a lot of Jesus' followers were feeling that day. Just despair, complete sadness, confusion, maybe even some frustration, maybe some anger. And while they're walking home, they're trying to reason out, what happened? How could this happen? Now, some Greek scholars say that this discussion, this conversation these two were having was a lively, heated conversation, almost like arguing with each other over it. They weren't just sad and disappointed and heartbroken. They're frustrated. Everything they'd known to be true, everything that they believed in, everything they'd hoped for, all vanishes on that bloody cross. So they're trying to make sense of what happened. And Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, is walking alongside them, but they don't recognize him. And he asked them a question in verse 17. I thought, wouldn't they have recognized his voice? If they were kept from recognizing him, would his voice be recognizable to him? Who knows? But anyway, in verse 17, he asked them, what are you discussing together as you walk along? Now, remember, anytime Jesus asks a question, it's not because he's lacking information, right? He's asks questions to reveal the condition of our hearts. And this question just stops these two dead in their tracks. It says they stood still. They're walking. It says they stood still, their face downcast. They're stunned. They're stunned by this stranger's question. They stood still, their face downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, we don't know the name of the other disciple, but people who are a whole lot smarter than me believe it's Cleopas' wife walking with him, maybe. But Cleopas asks him, are you only a visitor to Jerusalem and do not know the things that have happened there in these days? I mean, they can't believe this guy doesn't know what happened in Jerusalem. Now, if this was in New Jersey and Jesus asked this question, the disciples would have asked him, where have you been? Right? Where have you been? To which Jesus could have said, oh, let me tell you where I've been. Right? But anyway, he says, are you only a visitor to Jerusalem and do not know the things that have happened there in these days? Jesus asks another question. Verse 19. He says, what things? What things? He asked. And he said, about Jesus of Nazareth, they replied. Look how they describe him. He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. Now, these two had spent time with Jesus, but they still didn't fully get it because Jesus was indeed a prophet, but he was so much more, right? Prophets taught. They prophesied. They gave people direction and instruction from the Lord. Jesus did all that too. But Jesus identifies himself as the way, right? The way to heaven, the only way. He identifies himself as the truth, the word becoming flesh. He identifies himself as the life, life eternal. When Jesus asked Simon Peter, well, who do you say that I am? That's such a good question. Who do you say that I am? Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, I read the name Jesus means Jehovah salvation, or Jehovah is salvation. And the name Christ isn't Jesus' last name. It's his title. Jesus the Christ, the anointed one, right? I said, well, he was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one, that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. We had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. That word for redeem there means to pay a price for freedom. Notice they're speaking in the past tense. He was a prophet, not he's a prophet. We had hope, not we hope. It's all past tense. See, many of the Jews thought that the coming Messiah, the Christ, would be a military king, a conqueror who would free his people from the oppressive rule of the Roman government. They had their hopes set on a living, conquering Messiah. But instead, Jesus was put to death. And when he died, so did all their hopes, their dreams, their aspirations. And as I said on Palm Sunday, the Jews, they didn't realize that the Roman government wasn't their problem. Sin was their problem. And Jesus, the Christ, came to conquer their sin, not the Roman government. So the disciples continue to explain to this stranger walking with them in verse 22. In addition, some of our women amazed us. That's putting it nicely, because earlier in the same chapter, when the women were at the empty tomb and they go back to tell the disciples, it said that they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. It was like crazy talk. Some of our women amazed us. That sounds better, doesn't it? They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Can you imagine Jesus listening to these guys thinking, oh man, you guys. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, so it wasn't crazy talk, but him they did not see. Jesus had told his disciples he'd be put to death and he'd rise again on the third day. Three separate times in the Gospel of Matthew. So there's at least three times he told them this that we know of. And here, Cleopas and his wife or friend even said, and what is more, it is the third day, there's a hint there, the third day since all this took place. They even referenced this fact and they couldn't put two and two together. And they denied the witness's report who saw the empty tomb. They denied the witness of the angel who said Jesus was alive. Then I got thinking, it's easy to be critical of these two, right? But let's not be too critical. Let's keep in mind, they were raised in a religious system that taught so many false teachings and so many crazy traditions of man that was a lot for them to overcome and believe this. They just couldn't connect all the dots yet. So it made me think we need to be kind and compassionate to others, instead of impatient and critical when they don't get it, right? When they can't connect the dots yet, when they don't understand the gospel message, when the light still hasn't gone on yet, right? We need to be kind and compassionate instead of impatient and critical. But now Jesus has heard enough. He's going to help these two connect the dots. They had heard and read what the prophets had spoken about the coming Messiah. They heard these stories growing up. They knew all this. They were with Jesus. But they failed to perceive this all applied to him somehow. They didn't fully understand what Jesus had taught them. So Jesus is going to help them connect the dots. Look at verse 25. He said to them, "You idiots!" No, he didn't say that. He said, "How foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken." They were still looking for a political military king to save them from Rome. and they were slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Do you know anybody who's slow of heart to believe this stuff? I was slow of heart for years. Yeah. Jesus continues. He said, did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? See, the Jews weren't looking for a suffering Savior. There was no victory in that in their mind. They're looking for a conqueror. So what would it take to convince these two? An unbelievable Bible study where the topic was Jesus and the text was the whole Word of God and the teacher was Christ himself. Wow. Can you imagine that? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. Whatever had anything to do with talking about him, he was explaining this. What a Bible study that must have been. And for just these two people, Jesus with two people, and he tells the whole story. No big crowd, can't listen to it on Spotify or go to YouTube. Just these two people. Doesn't it make you hunger for that kind of personal encounter with Jesus? Explaining what all the scriptures said about himself? Wow. But Jesus isn't saying here, sorry, it's only for the two going to Emmaus. It's not for you. Listen, I believe that wherever, whenever Jesus finds a person who's willing to just disconnect from social media, shut the computer off, shut the TV off, put your phone down, turn it off. When Jesus finds a person willing to do that and give him their undivided, undistracted attention and devotion, listening only to him intently, I believe he'll do the same thing with us as he did with these two from Emmaus. I mean, this story should encourage us. But are we willing to walk with him? Are we willing to give up any unbiblical beliefs or traditions and wait on him? Because he provides us here with the best example of how to approach those who don't believe yet. Walk with them. Jesus came alongside them and walked with them. He didn't start lecturing them. He started asking them some questions. And he listened to them. He was trying to understand their heart. So this is such a good example for us. We don't have to beat people over the head with the word. Spend some time with them. Walk with them. Ask a few questions. Listen to them. Don't just blow, oh, I don't believe that. But then go to the word and use scripture. Use God's word. That's what Jesus did. He used scripture. Faith comes by hearing, right? Hearing by what? The word of God. And that's exactly what Jesus did here. He was using the Word of God. Okay, so we're almost to the end of the 7-mile hike from Jerusalem to Emmaus. And when these three get to Emmaus, it appears Jesus was going to just keep walking. That's what it appears he's going to do. And I believe Cleopas and his companion, they were enjoying the conversation with this stranger so much, and they were being so blessed by his teaching. They were thinking, this guy really understands the scriptures so much. And they were being so blessed by his teaching. They didn't want to see the evening end just yet. So let's keep going. Verse 28. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he were going farther. But they urged him strongly. Okay, they didn't just say, hey, if you're not doing anything, you want to hang out with us? No, they urged him strongly. Stay with us. For it is nearly evening. The day is almost over. Of course, back then it was dangerous to travel at night in the dark, especially one guy going off by himself. Thieves would often attack people. So he went in to stay with them. And when he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Now notice this. Jesus is still a stranger to these two. They invite him in as a guest. And it was part of that culture, and probably most cultures, that the host serves the guest who is visiting, right? But Jesus reverses the roles. And now he's the host, and he's serving these two. And now it's his table. And this connects the dots for these two. Then their eyes were open. Now notice, their eyes weren't shut. They didn't open their eyes. Then their eyes were open, the eyes of their heart. Their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and poof, Jesus disappears from their sight. That almost sounds comical to me. All this time, Jesus is talking and teaching these two from Emmaus. They've no idea who he is. They invite him into their home, still thinking that he's some traveler who was in Jerusalem when they were there, and now it's getting dark, and they want to offer this guy a place to stay for the night. But when Jesus took the bread, gives thanks, breaks it, begins to serve them, before they can say, hey, he's gone. You're Jesus. Where'd he go? Right? Where'd he go? Here's the verse I've been wanting to get to, verse 32. They asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? He opened the scriptures to them. Hey, if someone gave you an incredible gift that was all wrapped up in a big box, doesn't do any good if it stays in a box, does it? You'd have to open it up. Right? You'd have to open it up to really get to what's inside. Well, these two disciples from Emmaus, they already had this gift of the scriptures. They knew what the word said. But for them to really lay hold of it, to really possess it, to really understand them, Jesus had to open them up for them. Does that make sense? I hope so. These two discouraged disciples are transformed by this encounter with Jesus. And he's teaching them how to read, how to understand, how to interpret the scriptures, and their hearts start to burn. What's the opposite of a burning heart? Cold heart. And I believe there's too many cold hearts in the church today. And Jesus desires for your heart and for my heart to warm up and burn for him and the things of God. So we need a new or we need a renewed passion and devotion to the Lord. They said, didn't our hearts burn within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? So how do we get a burning heart here at Joy Christian Fellowship? It's ignited by the scriptures. Their hearts burned when he talked and opened up the scriptures to them. We can't just read over and say, there, I read my Bible. What did it say? What does Jesus teach? What is the word teaching us? Do we allow him to open up the scriptures to us on a daily basis, or are we too consumed, too busy, too consumed with ourselves and our desires, and we crowd God out with our other priorities, and we smother that fire in our hearts? See, these two disciples, they just planned on settling in for the night. It was getting dark, wasn't safe to travel, so they invite a stranger in to spend the night as their guest. That's all. And when they realize their guest is the resurrected Christ, he disappears. Well, they sure couldn't sleep now, right? They had to go back and tell the others back in Jerusalem what they just experienced. Finally, they're able to connect all the dots. It didn't matter to them that it was nighttime and it might be dangerous to go out there. It didn't matter that Jerusalem was 7 miles away. They didn't say, well, we've been walking a long time. Let's just call it a night. And you know what? If it's not too cold, if it's not too hot, if it's not raining in the morning, well, maybe then we'll go back to Jerusalem, and then we'll tell everyone what happened. They didn't say that. It says they left their house at once to go back to Jerusalem. They couldn't keep this good news to themselves. Are you kidding me? Their hearts were burning for Christ. They couldn't wait to share the good news. I'll bet it didn't take him nearly as long to walk back to Jerusalem as it did walking from Jerusalem to Emmaus, right? Walking home, they were probably just shuffling along, down, depressed, not too concerned about too much. But now, I believe they had more urgency in their step. I think they were high-stepping it. They had some great news to share, and it couldn't wait. Their hearts were ignited with the word, and they were burning. They were burning for the Lord. You know, and our hearts truly burn within us with the presence of God living in us in the person of Holy Spirit. We won't be able to keep it to ourselves either. We won't be able to act casual about it or indifferent about it. At least we sure shouldn't. We won't just want to share the good news. We'll have to share it with someone else. Look what happened with these two disciples from Emmaus. Their hearts changed and their lives changed. Right? Changed hearts equal changed lives. It changed their direction. Now they're hurrying back to Jerusalem. It changed their message. They weren't moaning about Jesus' death anymore. They were proclaiming that he's alive. It changed their attitude completely. We're not our hearts burning within us? They're not talking in the past tense. Well, he was a prophet. We had hoped he was the one. He is the one. So we need to ask ourselves a few questions. First, do I have a heart for the Lord? Have I really placed my faith completely in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross? Have I asked Jesus into my heart to forgive me of all my sins and accept him as my Savior? And if not, I invite you to come to him before you leave and have your eternal destiny rewritten. Now, if we can confidently say, yes, I have a heart for the Lord, I know I'm saved, I want to serve him, then can we also confidently say, yes, I have a burning heart for the Lord. I have a burning heart. Because you know what? Sin will quench a burning heart for the Lord. Busyness in our lives will quench a burning heart for the Lord. When we feel that we need to fill our lives with all kinds of activities and entertainment and pleasures, we begin to crowd God out. And as that calendar gets full and full and full, that begins to smother the fire in our heart. And if we neglect God's word, and we neglect spending time with him in prayer, if we neglect the fellowship of our church family and other believers, our hearts will begin to cool off. And the fire will gradually go out. You take a fire, if you're getting ready to break camp and leave, the coals are all together. They're hot, but when you scatter the coals, they start to die off, right? It's such a good illustration of the body of Christ. We need to be together and burn together, because when we get separated out like that, we tend to cool off and go out. I don't want that to happen to me. I sure don't want it to happen to any of you. I don't want to live a life just filled with a lot of religious activity. I want my heart to burn. Don't you? So if we want our hearts to truly burn for the Lord, then we have to commit to the things that will add fuel to that fire. And if you really want that, I say let's ask God to set our hearts ablaze. Now, some of you knew the opening video. Some of you weren't in here yet. But it's a song Katie Torwalt sings called Set Me Ablaze. And the lyrics express a true desire for a heart that burns for the Lord. I just want to share a few words. She sings, set me ablaze till it's all that I know. Till it's all that I know. Set me ablaze, so I'll never grow cold. Are our hearts growing cold? He says, breathe, come and breathe on the coals of my heart. May your fire start and keep me burning. Set me ablaze with a single obsession. Set me ablaze with an endless passion. Your fire burning brighter deep inside my heart. Consume me. Reach through me. I want all you are. Set me ablaze till it's all that I know, so I'll never grow cold. Wow. If that's the desire of your heart, let's pray for that. Because Jesus is the only one who can make our hearts burn within us. Let this story be a warning to all of us, because we too can get so self-absorbed in our own situations. We can get so focused on our own struggle that we can miss the fact that the only one with the solution has been right there all along, walking alongside of us the whole time. But we didn't recognize him because we're too focused on us instead of him. He's the only one who can make our hearts burn for him. So let's pray. Please stand with me if you're able. I'm going to have a prayer. keep in mind, there's a group coming in. We're going to do a play. We'll have to clean up and get out of here. But if you want prayer for anything, by all means, stick around or pray where you are with somebody. Come up here. Oh, Father, 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 breathe. Holy Spirit, breathe. Breathe on the coals of our hearts. May your fire start and keep us burning for you. It's too easy to let the fire go out. And we said the fire on the altar must never go out. So we just ask you to breathe this morning. Breathe. Come and breathe on the coals of our hearts. Let them not turn cold, but let them be ignited with a passion that our hearts would be burning within us. Just like those two disciples walking to Emmaus when you opened up the scriptures to them. Open up the scriptures to us. Let it be more than just words on a page that we read and say, yeah, that sounds good, that sounds wow, that's interesting. Let it come alive in us and change us. Change us. When you opened up the scriptures to these two, it changed them. You did it for them. I know you can do it for us. That's what we ask for. Breathe on the coals of our hearts this morning. And may your fire start burning brighter and brighter and keep us burning for you and not the things of this world. I pray in the name, in the power, in the authority of our Lord, our Savior, and our soon returning King, Jesus the Christ. Amen and amen.